Hello, friends and listeners of the LeaderCast podcast. This is Mo, the producer, jumping on really quick before this episode starts to let you know that we are going to be wrapping up season one of the podcast. The final episode in season one will be coming out on April 23rd. We are going to be coming back with an even better season two later this year. Stay tuned on our socials for updates as we know more, and thank you for being an avid listener.
Nothing stays the same except you. Everything else around you is shifting and changing. When you remain stagnant, everything else around you is moving. There actually is no such thing as stationary. Everything's moving. The only thing that's stationary is your pursuit of your goal and dream when you don't go after it.
Welcome to the LeaderCast podcast, a weekly deep dive into the stories that transformed our guests into leaders worth following. Today's guest is Ramsey J. Jr. He's the author of two books, including his most recent called The Mentorship Engine. He's going to talk about two emotions that fuel all change in people, and it's probably not the two you're thinking of. Check it out. Ramsey J., welcome to the LeaderCast podcast.
Honored to be with you. How are you?
I am all right. I'm okay. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Likewise.
Hey, I'm excited to chat with you about mentorship and leadership and all the things you're into. You have a book called The Mentorship Engine that is out. And we actually, Ethan, your writing partner, was on with us a while ago. So he said you were the brains of the operation, I think, if I recall correctly.
I paid him to say that. I'm going to tell him he's the brains and the brawn. I just carry the luggage.
There you go. Nice. Mentorship's obviously a huge topic for us at LeaderCast and want to dive into that. But if we could, before we do that, could you just tell me a little bit about what you do these days?
I am what we would call a consultant. And in real simple terms, I am hired by companies and organizations to help them fix acute business problems, leadership problems, could be financial problems, that having somebody from the outside of the organization come in and evaluate to provide perspective could be useful. That is the simple kind of plain conversation passenger way of telling you what I do.
Yes. And your background is mainly through the financial world. Is that correct?
It is. So my background, undergraduate degree, is in finance, an MBA in finance, and spent the better part of 15 years in various investment management functions, starting on Wall Street and then moving to private investment management firms, really focused on private equity and leverage finance and capital raising. So that's where my kind of sharpening of my skills came from.
Gotcha. Lots of leadership lessons there, I'm sure.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
So mentorship is an, I would assume you had mentors growing up. So I wanted to kind of start there. So whether it was in athletics or other places, when you went to write with Ethan, the mentorship book, who were your formative mentors who came alongside of you early on?
Yeah, no, really, these are wonderful questions. I'd say first for me, I was fortunate, no question about it. I'd say one of my primary mentors growing up was my father. And that was a blessing. My name is Ramsey J. Jr., so it doesn't take a genius to figure out. Ramsey J. Sr. Is my father. And so my father was my first athletic coach. He coached my team in soccer and in track from elementary school until I went to high school. So I spent a lot of time with my father on the field, on the track, on the way back, talking, learning, mimicking, watching. Yeah. So I was fortunate that one of my great mentors lived with me and I carry his name. And so my father taught me a lot of lessons in life, a lot of lessons on how to relate to people. People often compliment my people skills. I'm very quick to tell you, I learned majority of my people skills from watching my father, how he treated everybody from the person that maybe was on the front to the top, on the bottom, in the middle. My dad was extraordinarily gifted at making everybody be seen, be felt, be heard, be valued. He was without question one of my early and most important mentors. And certainly, if you want to talk more beyond that and the adult life and professional realm, others have entered that space, but it would be unauthentic for me to argue about having great mentors without starting with my father, Ramsey J. Sr. first.
Well, that's all. I mean, obviously not everyone can say that about their parents. It is a blessing for sure. But it's how you want, the world to be. I mean, that's awesome that you had that kind of dad. Just happy to hear that, you know, makes me happy. I stumbled upon something that I think you wrote at one point about or spoke about four emotions that play into leadership. Those struck me. I just saw what they were, but I didn't hear the explanation of it.
Yes, that's my first book. And what you're talking about is one of the first chapters is called Capitalize on your booster emotions.
Okay.
And basically what it's suggesting, if you're going to really catalyze behavioral change, and all the folks listening to your podcast, leadership is about catalyzing behavioral change and those that you lead. And what we argue in that book is emotion matters and being able to tap in those matters significantly. And we talk about several of them, but the one that I'll highlight that's really important, I think, one that people don't always think through is regret. Regret is a powerful emotion because it helps you stymie fear. Some people have a fear of what happens if I do. I argue in the book, the greater fear is never knowing what would have happened if I did.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to repeat that. Most people are afraid of what happens if I try. We suggest regret is a better motivating emotion, and the fear of not ever knowing what happens if I try is the one that you should ultimately be embracing to really catalyze the ability to pursue. So we talk about regret. The other one we talk about is love and passion. But we talk about the abiding love and the fierce passion. And the abiding love is the one that you'll be exhausted for and energized by. So if you really love something, you will exhaust yourself to pursue it, but you'll be energized because of the passion that comes from the pursuit. So it's an interesting dilemma when you say, gosh, I'm so tired, I'm fatigued. That may mean you're not aligned in the passion point. I'm exhausted, I'm fatigued, but I'm exhilarated to go at it again. That means you love it so much that the passion actually fuels you as much as it depletes you to make the effort to pursue the thing. So we talk about love, we talk about passion, we talk about regret. And those are three of the big capitalizing booster emotions that we talk about. And I'd argue if you really tap into those, you will find the ability to catalyze change. If you don't, what I suggest, it tends to be transient, transactional. Doesn't end up being a wholesale secular change. It's temporary in nature. And what we need is more systemic long-term change. And if you do it, the void of emotions tends to be transient in nature, doesn't have the stick power to stay long-term.
That's really great stuff, man.
Booster emotions matter a lot.
I love that. And that's in your first book. Tell us one more time what the book's called.
Empowering Dreamers to Become Achievers.
I love the regret question. I think I naturally ask that some of myself. Are you asking something like putting yourself in a future state? Like in 10 years, what will you regret if you don't do now?
Yes.
Like that sort of thing.
Yes.
And I'm just curious, are there common themes or answers when you ask folks that, that you see?
Yes. It's a really good question. There's a couple things that now people say it different ways, but the core is always there. Most people, when they have the opportunity to take a risk, will look back and say, I wish I would have taken more. Now, we're not saying cavalier, careless risk. That's not what we're talking about.
Right.
But when you have the opportunity to truly pursue a dream, the risk is going to always be there. That's what comes with the pursuit of a dream. The fear is what ultimately keeps you from going for it and playing it safe. And the longer you play it safe, the more difficult it is to give it a shot. Nothing stays the same except you. Everything else around you is shifting and changing. When you remain stagnant, everything around you is moving. There actually is no such thing as stationary. Everything's moving. The only thing that's stationary is your pursuit of your goal and dream when you don't go after it. So risk and taking risk is the biggest fear that most people end up with. They regret because they wish they would have known. And here's the thing. As you grow up, depending on what season of life you're in, when you're young and single, there's probably less risk. You have a family, a young family, spouse, you have children, you have a home, you're not as mobile, can't take as many chances. And then you have another season, perhaps when you grow up and the kids move out, that perhaps that risk opportunity comes back. But then that passion point that you had in your maybe early 30s, mid 30s, isn't the same as when you get to try and maybe try it again at mid 50 or 60. Doesn't mean you can't do it, but usually the passion throttle is different at 50 or 60 than it is 25 to 35. So most people will tell you, depending on who you're talking to, you ask this question, you talk to them on the 50 and plus side, I wish I would have taken some more shots when I was younger. When I'm on the younger side, I wish I would have taken some shots, but I played it safe because I said I had to be here where I'm at right now. When I realized now I had a lot of time to come and get it. Both of them are saying the same things, just with a different prism. I wish I would have took my shot when I had it. And both, for whatever reasons, counsel themselves out of doing so. And then the fear of regret of what would have happened if is a question that they can't answer. That's that regret throttle that begins to incubate.
Interesting. But I do think that that time in life does come where you kind of pause and say, should I revisit some of those risks I took when I was younger? How should I think about those? So when I say that, what comes to mind? What's your best advice? Maybe we're a similar age. I don't know, you and me, but
yeah, you're right down the fairway. Yeah, I mean, you're right down the fairway. You don't even realize how down the fairway you are. This is the answer that more of you need to ask. And I hope this answer validates why.
Yeah.
This is the perfect opportunity to reapproach this dream, just kind of recategorize how it's going to be done. And here's the thing. When we're younger, it's probably more of an isolated single person pursuit.
Yeah.
When you get to be at the 50 plus age, here's what I suggest. It's the power, and it's what we talked about at the beginning, the dynamic mentorship engine approach of that dream now being incubated alongside with the next generation leader. The fusion of those two ecosystems is nirvana for both. The young upstart, the senior statesman, those fusion of the two. And here's what I'll say on good intelligence. Both entities richly rewarded by the fusion of the collaborative partnership opportunity. So you have a goal, a dream to maybe start something. There's somebody else who's thinking about doing it as well. The fusion of those two ecosystems to go at it together is nirvana for both. So I would suggest if you're on that 50 side of the equation, you now have what we call wisdom that comes from only time on this earth. You know things that someone that's 25 just does not know. On the same time, the 25-year-old has more of the cutting edge, creative thinking, technology bend, sees little opportunities that you don't, but doesn't have the wisdom, foresight on how to maybe navigate. If you bring those two together, I've seen it before and I'm saying it again, magic happens when those two ecosystems combine. So I would say partner down, partner up, come together, and I think good things happen for both in the pursuit of the goal and the dream.
That's really strong, Ramsey. That's really, that's good stuff. Cause it, I think most people think of mentorship as a one way, as like a way to give back. Like, I'm successful ish now, so I'll donate some of my time to help someone who reminds me of me when I was younger. And it almost feels like, you know, doing your act of social service to kind of, I think accessing a little bit of like, no, like this, looking for someone that you can actually work together, do some things together that you wouldn't be able to do on your own, puts a whole nother interesting sort of energetic kind of mindset to what mentorship could be. I think it's a two-way street, right?
And that's really the dynamics, right, of the book. When Ethan and I wrote this book, the mentorship engine is exactly as we talk about. It's an engine. It's but what is the combustible action that dynamically allows the virality of mentoring to ignite itself? And what we argue, I think, pretty well in the book is that the mentorship relationship is duality in responsibility to be effective. The mentor has a very significant role to play. The mentee also has a significant role to play. When they both operate their elements of the engine together, combustion happens. And we argue both are enriched, both learn, both grow, both are enriched. And then the ecosystems that they may call more their own are also enriched at the same time. That's the dynamics of the engine. And when you add mentorship as kind of the agency for that factor, it indeed is robust when it works, as we argue it should, in the Mentorship Engine book.
It strikes me, and you may say this in the book, that it takes some humility on both sides, right? Like, some folks get to a certain age where they want to bask in their own success. And other folks are younger and think they got it all figured out. It strikes me that you got to get past those two things to come together to see this magic happen.
100% correct. Yeah. There's no question about that. You check your ego at the door, no titles in that space. You have wisdom, but I also have smarts. Mm-hmm. Both of them are valuable to the other person. Both have the opportunity to learn at the same time. The other thing we talk about that's really important to appreciate, and there's tools, models, metrics you can use in the book. One that I think is worth highlighting here on your podcast is the ABF matrix, apple, balloon, Frank, ABF matrix. And what we talk about when we say that is you need to be intentional about cultivating relationships with people that are above you. Okay. The A above you. Mm-hmm. But then it's also about cultivating relationships with people that are beside you. Mm. Sometimes we're in the pursuit of, I got to get to that person up there. I'm all focused on who's up there, that we neglect who's right to your left and who's to your left and mm-hmm. right mm-hmm. that has extraordinary gifts and talents. And then the one we really all should be cognizant of is the F, and that's who's following you. And when you have kind of the three level of pursuit in your relationships and development, you'll find that at different stages of your life, guess what? You occupy all three of those depending on what channel you're currently operating at in what zone of your life. Sometimes you're the person who people are following. Sometimes you're the person following others. But guess what? You always are with people beside you. Most of us can all be enriched when we think about mentoring, to have a model that helps us really assess, am I really being effective of nurturing my ability to develop with people that are beside me, that are following me and above me? And if you're honest, the way we write about it in the Mentorship Engine, we all have an area, one of those three, that could use some focus on development. And when we do that, we find the virality of the Mentorship Engine is amplified significantly. Mm. It's about who's above you. It's about who's beside you. And it's about who's following you. And then appreciate that as you go through your journey, you will play more significant roles in each of those, but you'll be more equipped based on your ability to appreciate all of those.
I love the intentionality of what you're talking about, because I think some people probably are just like natural mentors, right? They don't even realize it. Most people probably could be great mentors, but don't take the intention. Question I find myself often asking is, if you're younger, how do you find a mentor? But let me reverse it for you. If you're older, or it doesn't have to be age all the time, right? Have more experience. What's your advice on finding a mentee? And related to that, is it better to look in your own organization or kind of look elsewhere when you're thinking of that sort of intentional relationship?
Really good question. First thing you want to do, and this may be natural for some, but to be clear, so be explicit in somewhat counseling for others, is you should make sure that it's something and in an area that you're passionate about. Go back to that booster emotion we talked about earlier. Got to be somewhere that you have a passion for, you got to drive for, you get an extra tick. I call it an extra glide in your stride, an extra up in your giddy up. It's got to be something that kind of gets your heart going.
Yeah.
So that's the first arena to be in. Now, if that's checked, then there's two things I think make sense. Number one, I think it's always good to start where you're from. So retrace your foundational track. I mean, think about this. There's nothing more powerful than a mentor coming back to find a mentee from where they came from. So that could be going back to the high school channel, the junior college channel, your first job, your undergraduate institution, if you did college, trade school, wherever you kind of started your journey. I will tell you this, go back down the path that you traveled down, and you want to see somebody's eyes light up when you come back. Someone that you can say, I sat where you sat. I sat where you sat, and I'm coming back to tell you, you can do it. You can make it. And I'm here to show you how. You have credibility and authenticity that can't be bought. Go back down and trace your path and get off one of those off ramps and go reach your hand out to someone who's in that same seat. And you can come back and tell them, I've been there. I've done that. Let me show you how you can do it too. And I started right where you are. My counsel would be retrace your journey, go back down that path. And I guarantee you somebody's walking down that path and would be beyond thrilled to see you say, hey, come with me. That's my advice.
I love it, man. Hey, I could talk forever, but we're not going for the record of the world's longest podcast. So we should probably stop talking. Thank you so much, Ramsey. You're now part of LeaderCast, whether you like it or not. So I appreciate you doing
I'm
that.
I'm happy to be part of it.
And we would love to keep you in the fold and maybe talk to you again sometime. For folks that are listening that might want your books or might even want a consultant, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, no, appreciate that. Easiest way to find me personally is on LinkedIn. There's only one. Be careful now. I'm Ramsey J. Jr.
Yeah.
There is a Ramsey J. Sr. and he'll be happy to hear from you too, my father. But if you want Jr., make sure it's Ramsey J. Jr. on LinkedIn. That's the best way to find me. And our books are all on Amazon. You can go to Amazon.com, type in Empowering Dreamers to Become Achievers, the first book. The second book, which just came out titled Mentorship Engine with Ethan and myself. Mentorship Engine is on Amazon, and we also have a great website with a ton of free resources at mentorshipengine.com. mentorshipengine.com. All those will lead you back to us, and we'd love to hear from you and stay connected.
Ramsey J. Jr., it was a pleasure. Great to meet you, man. Thanks so much for being a part of this.
Likewise. Look forward to the next one.
All right.
In today's ultra-competitive job market, top-tier talent are leaving companies in search of top-tier professional development. Now more than ever, you must invest in your emerging leaders. LeaderCast 365 is a world-class professional development system featuring access to 3 annual LeaderCast events, a post-event journey to activate the inspiration and insights gained from LeaderCast events, plug-and-play lunch and learn programs with group discussion questions, concise video courses to address weaknesses and build upon strengths, and our library of more than 1,200 short-form videos from a slate of industry experts organized into 16 key professional development categories. Invest in your all-star employees and attract new top talent to join them with LeaderCast 365.